I got a full of issues, a trunk full of them. And she's got her own personal issues. And if Jesus is not in the center of it, then you can never get to the place of getting healed. And I think that was the good part for us, was being able to put Jesus in the center of who we were and taking all our issues and dealing with our own personal issues.
From the Family Life Podcast Network, this is Family Life Blended. I'm Ron Deal. This donor-supported podcast helps blended families and those who love them pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm so glad you've joined us in this journey. Welcome to episode number 65, Real Life, Tracy and Daryl Strawberry. Hey, I'm so excited that my newest book, resource number 15 in the Smart Step Family series, is available now. Preparing to Blend is do-it-yourself premarital counseling for engaged pre-blended family couples. And it provides premarital counselors with a package program that they can use with the couples that they coach and counsel. Buy it wherever you get your books. You know, not long ago, I had a special opportunity to interview Tracy and Daryl Strawberry while they were visiting the Family Life office. We captured that interview on video, and it's available on YouTube. The show notes will give you a link to that if you'd like to watch it. But we wanted to make sure that the audio was available for you here. So here's my conversation with Tracy and Daryl Strawberry. Hey, everybody, it's Ron Deal with Family Life Blended. Good to have you with me today. I've got a special opportunity interviewing and speaking with Daryl and Tracy Strawberry. So good to have you guys with me. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Now, if you know the name Daryl Strawberry, like me, I was in high school when Daryl went into the major leagues, and I remember watching him play and enjoyed every bit of that. He ended up being on the All-Star for Major League Baseball 8 times, has 4 World Series titles, which is just amazing. Where do you keep your rings?
Well, I actually don't have them. I gave them to my manager, so.
Is that right?
Yeah, he holds on to them.
That's pretty great. Well, while his professional life excelled, personal life struggled. And it's a story of addiction and abuse in his childhood and divorce and cancer and some jail time. Maybe we can get into that in just a minute. I want to introduce you to Tracy. Tracy, his wife, is Dr. Tracy. She, too, has a personal story of addiction and alcoholism. She's a speaker. She's an author. The two of them are in a very different season of their life now. We're kind of talking around Daryl's new book, Turning Around Your Season. You guys have had a turnaround in life and in family. Your story is sort of similar to others I've heard, where somebody came through addiction and it cost them some relationships, and yet you found somebody else, a new love, and you guys are walking in life now. Tell me, what's that been like for you guys?
Usually that's a good thing. You know, I think when you go through some of the trials and tribulations of life and then you recover and you find the right person and you live a different life. I think through your own personal journey of who we are, we all have some shortcomings, and I think when they play out in your life, you go through the struggle, and then you wonder what's next. A lot of times people wonder, is marriage really good again? I know for me, I was in that place of, you know, after 2 marriages, wondering, would marriage ever be good again? And then I started thinking, as a ball player, you get 3 strikes when you're at the plate. So if I marry again, well, this would be the 3rd strike. So I don't want to marry after this. So, and then I really realized that I married well, and it was a process. It wasn't an overnight miracle. You know, we had kids that were involved. We had other people that were involved, and you were going to have to deal with a lot.
Yeah, that's right. You have 6 children before you met Tracy, and Tracy, you had 3 children.
Yes.
So he was thinking balls and strikes about the 3rd time getting married. What were you thinking going into this?
Fear, very fearful. And, you know, God's design for us is never addiction. It's never brokenness, blended family, divorce. But there's good news. within the brokenness, praise God. Mm-hmm. So if we submit ourselves to Him and we are intentional about digging deep, the word gospel means good news, there wouldn't be hope for any of us. So there's hope in the individual who's struggling. There's hope for the person who's been divorced, maybe multiple times. There's hope for the person who is in the blended family. When you use the word blended, it was never God's intention, but when you use the word blended, there was a brokenness, there was a division. Mm-hmm. So the power of God, when you are intentional about it, will come in and heal your heart, heal the children, heal the family, but you have to be intentional and you have to set your mind. You have to go in wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, and God will do a miracle within every situation.
You know, one of the stories we love around here is the woman at the well. She'd had a rough go. She was deeply thirsty, which is why she was at the well. Not physically thirsty.
Correct.
She was looking for love. She was relationally thirsty. And here comes Jesus to become her perfect bridegroom. You know, John the Baptist in John chapter 3, we read that he says Jesus is the bridegroom looking for a bride. And in John 4, he sees a woman who's looking for a bridegroom.
That's right.
There's no mistake that they found each other there. And out of that brokenness came this beauty for her. And yet, you guys know, coming out of your brokenness, that you really have to give your life to Jesus. You have to drink the living water and follow Him. What was that like for you guys?
It's a process.
Yeah.
See, we don't want to make it like it's an overnight miracle for people. Mm. And I think people think it's an overnight miracle where the change is going to take overnight, and it doesn't. It's a process that you have to go through. You have to walk, and you have to go through all the issues that are being brought into the relationship. I got a full of issues, a trunk full of them, and she's got her own personal issues. And if Jesus is not in the center of it, then you can never get to the place of getting healed. And I think that was the good part for us, was being able to put Jesus in the center of who we were and taking all our issues and dealing with our own personal issues, you know, through our own personal relationship with Christ. Just like you talked about that woman at the well, she was thirsty, you know, and Jesus was referring to her, you'll keep drinking that water and you're going to always be thirsty. But if you drink this living water, you'll never be thirst again. You know, you'll never thirst again. And I think that's what happens to all of us in a relationship. Once we start learning to drink the living water, we're never thirsty for all these other things. Because now we have found the Creator who created us and the one that can only heal us.
Amen.
Because the healing has to take process inside of us for us to really be changed and be able to come one. I think a lot of times people want to become one with no change, and then, you know, what happens? We start blaming each other instead of dealing with the reality of our own things. And I think that's what happened to me and Tracy. Was it easy? No. I mean, because we had a lot of stuff coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We had 9 kids to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it going to work? And, you know, it's a blended family. How do you make it work? But we're grateful we did the work. And when I mean the work, Ron, I'm talking about the spiritual work on ourselves to get to this place, to have the fulfillment that life is really good no matter how your family is.
One of the challenges some blended families face, I'm not sure about you guys, but while you're doing your individual work, while you're trying to get your life back on track, for example, kids are struggling with their own world and the things that have happened and the stuff they didn't ask for and the changes they didn't want. And and there's a lot of fallout for them. So they're kind of looking for somebody to help guide and lead their process. Now we're saying, let's be family. And they're like, you know, sometimes they're like, whoa, more change? Not sure I want this. Okay. I'm curious, Tracy, from your standpoint, just what was your experience with yourself walking that road and then also trying to help kids?
Yes. First of all, I want to encourage the adults to be the adults.
What does that mean? Say a little
more
about that.
That means we are held to a higher standard and we need to be able to, first of all, be intentional with our walk with Christ. I can't I can't push that enough. So with the power of God within you, the power of prayer, you're going to need great patience. You're going to need a whole lot of grace. There needs to be a time and a space for our children to be able to be healed and to be restored. They are being challenged with situations, as you said beautifully, Ron, that they did not choose.
Right.
There's a lot of elements. They have to live back and forth between two families, two worlds. They are uprooted, and it's not fair to them. There's been an injustice within their heart and their mind and their whole soul. So they need to be loved. And it doesn't mean that you don't have a household that doesn't have rules or boundaries or anything like that. They have to be realistic. But the power of prayer, your children that come from the other marriage, watching you live for Christ, watching you love through the love of Christ will bring you wisdom. Ron, I can't explain that enough. The Holy Spirit will lead you and give you discernment. When do I push? When do I pull back? When do I open that space for them and have them have that opportunity to have their own process? One of the best things I ever did was sat down each one of the children in the timing that the Holy Spirit led me and say, acknowledge their pain. I know you didn't choose this. I want to be able to be a healing person, a healing agent within this process. Let's talk this out. I always want to know what you're feeling, even if it's bad feelings toward me. Let's talk this out and give them permission for that opportunity for them to come and be able to express themselves and create a healing place for
them. I gotta say, I love the softness of that. We coach step parents to do that very thing, to try to enter into the sadness and grief of children and stepchildren, because then you let them know your approach and they can trust you with it.
Yes.
Doesn't always mean they will, especially in the beginning. It's a process for them to try to open themselves up to you as parent or step-parent. Were there some kids that responded more quickly than some of the other kids?
Yeah, of course. Some of them are. You know, all kids are different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most important thing that we learned through that process was grace, you know, being able to give the kids the grace that they needed. Because God gives us the grace that we need.
Yeah.
So you have to learn to be able to give them the grace that they need.
Yeah.
Their life is just as important as our life is important. And I think our kids realize the different way we were living, I think, made it more comfortable for them to be able to enter in. We don't preach to our kids. We don't, you know, we preach the gospel, but we do not preach to them. We let them see the way we live, and we just live a life a different way. I think that's the invitation that really invites them in. You know, that's the invitation that invites them in for conversations that they need to have. Because kids have to have some hard conversations about where they're at. You know, you come from a broken situation, there are going to be some broken pieces in the kid's life that they need to talk about and feel comfortable with. And I think we learned that over the year of looking at each one from a different perspective. You know, and not putting all of them in one basket
letting
at one time.
Letting them be individuals.
Yeah, exactly. So they all think different. Their personalities are different. But at the same time, I think our children together became one big family.
Yeah.
Which is great, which is hard to do.
Yes.
But eventually over time, things came together for us as our children came together. And we became one big family, and we understood the importance of what family values are.
One of the things I know some of our listeners are wrestling with is they have a similar story of you. They made some decisions at one point in their life that cost them something with their children, created some pain in their kids, and then brought their life back to Christ and made changes, and yet that pain is still out there. I want to read you a quote, Daryl, from your book. You say, "For a season of my life, I was at the top of my game, and my game was baseball. But seasons change. Bad choices and other misfortunes knocked me down hard, and God began a process of teaching me, reshaping me, and leading me into a new kind of life. And like a baseball career, seasons of life come and go." Now, some of those seasons changes for you, but the kids are still dealing with the hardship of that. So when you're making these life changes for both of you, and the kids are seeing those changes, how do they know how to trust it? And I love the fact you're being patient with them and giving them lots of grace. I'm wondering, just from your standpoint, how did they struggle through, is this real? Is this really going to happen? How do I trust it?
Well, I think over a period of time, after they see who we are as, you know, husband and wife, and they see us as the leader of the family, they realize that we're not going to change. Mm.
And so persistence.
Yeah.
that's the game changer, right?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. You know, and you don't have to talk about it. I think that's the thing about it was for our kids is we never had to talk about it. We just actually lived it. Huh. And living it is more than anything. Being in action, I think, is more than saying anything about mm-hmm. it. And I think they have seen that. Our kids have seen that over a period of time, a long period of time. Mm. And they've never seen us, like, straddle the fence. They've never seen us waver. They've always seen us be consistent. Mm. And it opened their eyes to, you know, we live a different life. Mm-hmm. And we live a life for God, and we live on these principles, and our home is different. Mm. And I think that's really what excites the kids more than anything. And I think that's what really brought transformation in our kids' life, seeing our home be different.
You know, I'm thinking of baseball analogies. Can't help but think of a few analogies, even from my little league career and a little bit of a college career. When you face the same pitchers all the time, you kind of get used to them. You learn how to hit. You know what their curveball's going to do. Okay, parenting's sort of like that. I think we know how to play them. We've seen them. We've been around them a long time. And then you face a new pitcher. And this stepchild throws stuff you've never seen before. And you're trying to figure out, how do I stay in the box? How do I manage this? I'm wondering if you guys have any tips for step-parents for just staying in the box, learning how to hit those pitches mm-hmm. and hang with those kids while you're trying to develop a relationship with
yes,
them.
Yes, it's so good. I know for us, we sat down inviting the children into the process. You made a good point, Ron, about, you know, there's life changes. So as we're making changes in our life to better our life and live this happily ever after, the children have to be invited into that process. Sitting them down at the table and saying, what can we do to build this life together? Here's the boundaries of the home. This is how we live in here, and these boundaries will be respected. Mm. But we want to respect you, and we love you. So what can we do to help make this environment your environment as well? Because this is just as much about you as this is about us. What are you going through right now? Mm-hmm. Why are you angry? You can tell me the truth. Again, going back to that permission thing.
Yeah.
How are we going to walk through this and work through this? Because it hurts me to see you in pain. It hurts me to see you have to go through this transition. Mm-hmm. How can we help?
That's good.
How can this home become your home? What can we do to bring you into this so that we work on this together so you can experience together as well in the oneness that God intended for family to be?
The parents can't be selfish. Mm. Mm-hmm. And can't be self-centered. Mm-hmm. That has to go. That has to die. Mm-hmm. So whatever we're saying, the ego has to go.
Yes.
You know, and you have to come to a place of humility, mm-hmm. okay? And I think that's what's been so great about us and our family, the blended family, is the humility that we have in it. We make it about the kids.
Yes.
We don't make it about us. Of course, are they in our space sometime? Yes, of course.
Sure. Yes.
No question about it. But in reality, they didn't cause the mess. Mm-hmm. You know, the parents are the ones that make the mess. Mm-hmm. And God takes the mess and brings it into a message. So you have to create that part of the message. The message is good, you know, because God is good, and He makes your life good when you see beyond yourself. And I think that's what's so good about me and Tracy. We have saw beyond ourselves, and we see the importance of the kids' need, and to be able to love them right where they're at, and let them go through their own little process. Because our kids have been through some challenges.
Yes.
But we allow them to go through, and when they need to come back home and get a restart, we allow them to come back home and get a restart.
I love the word you used, respect. You respect the kids and their journey and try to meet them where they are. I think sometimes as parents, we think, well, but if I'm not in command, if I'm not telling them what to do or how to feel or how to behave, then somehow I've lost my parental authority. My bet is you guys would say, no, that's not right.
That's correct.
Humility brings you more parental authority. Has that been your experience?
No question. That's not true. It doesn't make you right. We don't have to be right.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not important to be right. We realize that, you know, if we're going to help them, and we're going to help them grow, and we're going to help them, you know, have a transformation, we don't have to be right.
Hmm.
they have to be able to go through the hard part of life. And if we allow them to go through the hard part and we let them know when they come back, we love you. Mm. We may tell you it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But when you come back, and they usually come back and it goes, you were right. We say, all we can do is, you know, talk to you and tell you about it. But we're not trying to force it down your throat. We're trying to show you that life is going to show up for you. Mm-hmm. And we've been through it. And we want you guys to understand our doors are always open.
It's great.
You know, and you're always welcome to come and express where you're at so we can help you. I think that's so important for a lot of parents to be able to understand. Because what we don't realize is, like my wife said before, kids don't sign up for this.
Yeah, they
don't. Know, we should, as an adult, we should understand that they didn't sign up for this. Okay. You know, they were put in this, and they have all types of feelings, and they have to deal with it. So how do we help them, you know, walk through the feelings that they really have?
I'm going to ask maybe a difficult question. I don't know. Maybe you know right off the top of your head. If your kids were sitting here, and I was talking with them, and I said, all right, help all those other parents and step-parents out there who are listening. Kids, what tips have you learned about step-family living and about, from your standpoint as an adult or as a child, what would you say to parents or step-parents? What do you think your kids would say?
I would say three things right off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Is number one, our kids have always given us the feedback. I'm talking about all of our kids, okay, because we don't call them stepchildren. Uh-huh. The first thing is we love all the children as if they are our own, each and every one of them. Mm-hmm. You marry us. You don't just marry the person, you marry the children as well.
Okay.
And they love that we have always loved them the same. They're always included. The second thing is we never pit the other parents against each other. We've never, I'm not going to say the word never because that's probably not true somewhere along the way, excuse me.
But you didn't intend to.
We didn't intend to put the children in the middle or pawn them against the other parent or poison their mind with things with the other parent. That's a big position where I say be the adult. Mm. You need to shut your mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm very strong with that word. Do not talk negatively or harshly or with evil intent about the other parent or even the things that happen between you and within your marriage. That's not their business and they should not be harmed with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is that we gave them that safe place. Mm. We've included them and we always tried to come together and that oneness is with them and having fun with them and bringing them together and giving them the space that they needed to heal in that respect. Mm. Those are the three things I would say.
That's great. I think it's fair to say, Daryl, you struck out a few times at the plate. I don't know how many. Maybe you know. Maybe you don't want to know.
More than enough.
What have you learned about your Savior in the process of striking out in life? What have you learned about Him? You've been listening to my conversation with Tracy and Daryl Strawberry. I'm Ron Deal, and this is Family Life Blended. We'll hear Daryl's response to that question in just a moment. But before we do, let me tell you a behind-the-scenes story about that interview. Tracy and Daryl came to the Family Life studio to record with our sister podcast and radio program, Family Life Today. And I was able to interview them while they were here. At one point, Daryl explained, while we were having lunch and just visiting, getting to know one another, that when he gets asked to speak around the country, he says, yes, I'll go, as long as they don't want me to talk about baseball. You see, to him, the most important thing he can speak about is Jesus. He's gotten rid of his 4 World Series rings. He refuses to talk about his accolades on the field. He just wants to talk about what the Lord has done for him. It reminded me of Paul, who in Philippians chapter 3 lays out his resume, and then he says, you know, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless, he continues, when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I can gain Christ and become one with him. There are a lot of things
that fight for our attention and our affections in this world, but everything else is worthless compared with knowing the King of the world. Seek that first, and other things will find their rightful place in your life. If you'd like more information about my guest, you'll find it in our show notes, or you can just check it out on the Family Life Blended podcast page at familylife.com/blendedpodcast. And while you're there, check out everything Family Life has for your marriage and family. Our division, Family Life Blended, has the world's largest collection of articles addressing topics like adult step families, financial matters in blended families, co-parenting challenges, and much more. And we have videos and books for blended families like The Smart Stepdad, The Smart Stepfamily Marriage, and my book with Dr. Gary Chapman, Building Love Together in Blended Families. My new book for engaged couples, Preparing to Blend, has just released and is available wherever you get your books. Be sure to check us out and learn more about Family Life. The show notes will tell you how. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, boy, we would love for you to do that. We'd love for you to just listen wherever it's most convenient. You can listen on the Family Life app, or you can go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you like to get your podcast. Just search Family Life Blended. You know, each fall we put on an event called the Summit on Step Family Ministry, which is an equipping event for pastors and lay couples alike who want to understand step family living better and know how to be able to help their neighbors or help someone in their church and congregation. It's coming up soon, and I would love to meet you there. Just go to summitonstepfamilies.com for the registration information you need. Summitonstepfamilies.com. Now, let's get back to that question that I asked Daryl. I asked him about striking out in life and what he's learned about his Savior along the way.
Well, I learned that He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
And He loved you before you can even love yourself. Mm. You know, and I think a lot of times people don't ever come to that knowledge of Christ, of knowing that, you know, in all your shortcomings, no matter what they what they are and what they will be, He still loves you. That's the most important thing for one to be able to understand. If you can't understand the love of God, then you will never understand you. You will never understand that you are a sinner that needs a Savior, and He is the only one that can forgive you and really bring you forward into your purpose and your destiny, because of the creation was way before you was even thought of. God created you. And, you know, He brings it all the way back to, you know, why He created you. And I think understanding the Savior and understanding His saving hand and His loving hand teaches you how to be a man. Hmm. You know, I think so many of us won't trust that process. You know, we think I'm a man because I have a great job. Now, that doesn't make you a man. You know, it just make you have a good job.
You mean accomplishments don't make you a man?
No, it does not. You know, I think so many... In society, we've gotten that so wrong and everything until you come to the understanding and knowledge of Christ's love. It's far deeper and greater than anything that you can ever imagine. And you can never fall so far down where He will just turn His back on you like man will. He's the only one that won't turn His back on you. And I think that's the understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Daryl, I think you just brought us back to the woman at the well again. She goes there in shame. She meets the Savior. She receives His love. She drinks deeply. And it changes her. And you guys certainly are two stories of life change that have also led to redemptive family change, just like that woman at the well. And thank you for sharing. Thank you for being with us today. I appreciate your openness. And may God bless you in all that you do.
Thank you for having us, Ron.
Thank you, and bless you as well.
Next time, we're going to get an inside look at the book Preparing to Blend and what it has to offer engaged couples and premarital counselors.
It helped me realize how little of myself I had brought to the table, because it suddenly made me feel like, oh, the girls don't know anything about my family.
That's Preparing to Blend, next time on Family Life Blended. I'm Ron Deal. Thanks for listening. And thanks to our Family Life Legacy partners for making this podcast possible. If you want to join them and make a tax-deductible donation specifically for Family Life Blended, you can do so by going to familylife.com/blendedpodcast and just click the donate button. Or if you'd prefer, just look in the show notes for a link. Our chief audio engineer is Keith Lynch. Bruce Goff, our producer. Our mastering engineer is Justin Adams. Project coordinator, Ann and Caro. And theme music provided by Braden Deal. Family Life Blended is part of the Family Life Podcast Network, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.